Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. We're very lucky. Joining us this week, it's Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. My friend, we don't always agree. Welcome back, Ed.
Good to be back with you again, Alan.
Well, it's terrific. Is Andrew Cuomo, from the outside, it looks like he's in a lot of trouble right now. Many of his associates have received subpoenas. We read in the newspaper that at least one of them is showing signs of cooperating with the U.S. attorney over certain things. And I'm sort of wondering whether or not this is trouble for him.
Yeah, he's getting tangled in his own web that he's weaved over his term and a half, and he's going to have hard times winning a third term. It's a matter of corruption. He's throwing so much money out there so negligently in so-called economic development, the Buffalo Billion, and building a factory for a billionaire. That's a big honeypot of money that a lot of his contributors have gloaned into, and that's going to cause him corruption problems. And then he's got policy problems where, you know, he's killed the natural gas industry, the only state to really do it that has natural gas resources. He's prevented pipelines from crossing the state to carry cheap, environmentally good gas to New England and also to New York State, simply for the benefit of special interests of his party. And then 1199 SEIU, a slogan, fight for 15. So he adopts a slogan without thinking of its impact on unskilled jobs in New York. And he puts it in his executive budget and forces that on the legislature. So you do thing after thing after thing. Then we have the slowest job growth of any state in the nation. And we're the least business-friendly state. We're still the highest tax. We got the highest energy costs. We spend more for education, K-12 education, with mediocre results. And he hasn't changed that because he hasn't had the guts to take on the special interests of his party.
And who do you think of as the special interests, Ed Cox?
Teachers union is one. Remember, he was going to lobby for the students. Remember, he was the only lobbyist, and he bellowed it out. By the way, at the State of the States, you know, he bellows. You know his father very well. His father didn't have to bellow because his father believed in things. It came from his heart. And he spoke about it, whether you agreed with him or not. He believed in it and fought for it, and it came across as genuine. Andrew, the son, is just interested in power for its own sake. So he's got to bellow in order to make his points because there's no real moral strength behind what he says. So he says, I'm the lobbyist. You remember that.
Of course.
I'm the only lobbyist for the students. I'm going to fight for it. He goes, are we evaluating teachers now or not 3 years later? We're not. Because he screwed it up, because he caved into the teachers union. He let them get to the bargaining table at the local level, and they forced on the local school boards. They did these side deals that only Bloomberg called them on. And the teacher evaluations turned to nothing. So after bellowing out, I'm going to be the only lobbyist, turns out his feet turned to clay when faced with the teachers union.
Well, it may have to do with it. He lost the last election, the second election. He didn't lose it. He won the election, but more than a million votes less than the first election. And a lot of people thought that was the teachers, who are just furious that he was stereotyping them and getting on them unfairly.
Well, he actually has been very threatened by Mayor de Blasio's election. Now, Mayor de Blasio is a real progressive and is not very pragmatic in his management. And he's the mayor of New York. And when you're the mayor of New York, there's no ideological way to pick up the garbage, as they say. So he is pretty universally not doing a good job here. But Andrew Cuomo saw that as a threat. Indeed, it was to him, because he only got 60% in his, Andrew Cuomo, only got 60% in his own primary. And as a result, he's had to go hard left on a lot of things. And he's been careful not to deeply offend the teachers union, as I pointed out. I did it on another thing. Came out for charter schools. Teachers unions had, in fact, I authorized a charter school that was sponsored by the Teachers Union, by Randy Weingartner. I was the authorizer for, as chairman of the State University Charter School Institute, and
we know that. And we have to point out here that you hired my son at one point. Yes, it's only right to disclose these things. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so the Teachers Union weren't against charter schools, and they tried to. For 7 years, they put all the resources trying to do a charter school under their union contract, and guess what? After 7 years, it failed. But the point is, they're not really against charter schools, but they were against the education tax credit, and Andrew Cuomo came out firmly for charter schools because there's a lot of Republican money he could put on ice. There's all power play by coming out for charter schools when de Blasio was against them. But he tossed the education tax credit. That was a real issue for the Teachers Union. Along with teachers' evaluations, he tossed the education tax credit over the side in order to curry favor with the Teachers Union. That's the way it is. It's all about power, not about principle.
Well, see, you and I agree on one thing. We think that he's manipulative that way. But what we don't agree on is things like charter schools, and we don't agree on, you know, teachers' unions, which I, you know, in my house, Albert Shanker was regarded as a god. We may have some differences here, but I want to ask you. I need to ask you a question.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I'm not against. I'm not against unions. I've represented union. I represent the Sergeants Benevolent Association. I go out and speak to the trade unions, and I'm all for teachers. It's just that the unions are designed to protect the interests of actually the most inefficient teachers, rather than working to really have a superb teaching core, and also to make sure that it's all about the students. It should not be about the teachers or the teachers' union.
Ed Cox, but don't you think that sergeants' union that you represent are all about representing every one of those sergeants?
They're about that, but they're also about the safety of the people of the city of New York. I mean, Eddie Mullins, who's the president of that union, but let me tell you, he comes out and he takes stance about the people of the city of New York and what is necessary to protect them.
But
his sergeants do a damn good job of it, too.
But if one of his sergeants screws up, that union's going to be there, right?
They're going to have a lawyer there to protect him, but if it's a bad sergeant, yeah, they'll give him a lawyer, but they're not going to be saying he's a good sergeant.
Okay. Ed, you said something before that is the biggest enigma to me. You're one of the smartest guys I know. I don't get it. What in heck is Andrew Cuomo so angry at de Blasio for? Is it just that he was a potential competitor? What's the deal?
He is. Look, this is a confirmed very liberal progressive. That's what de Blasio is. And that's a threat to Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo had to rely on de Blasio to get the Working Families Party.
Exactly. And I wonder about that. Does he have no gratitude for having saved his behind by getting that nomination for him?
No, it's a threat. The fact they had to rely on someone else, he doesn't want to rely. He's all about... He's a micromanager. He wants to control everything.
So he's my friend.
His own destiny.
So he's my friend. I got to kill him?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You got to kill him. He almost feels sorry for him. I don't feel that sorry for him, but you almost feel sorry for him because Andrew called me. He doesn't understand. I did him a favor. Why doesn't he thank me? Instead, he tries to kill me. He wants to. Mayor de Blasio wants more affordable housing. So in order to do that, he said, we're not going to use prevailing wages because then we'll have more money for affordable housing. Yeah, we'll pay less to the people who build them, but they'll still get built. And so Andrew Cuomo comes right after him because he knows it's going to appeal to the trade union. He said, no, you have to have prevailing wages, and we're going to hold up 421A, et cetera, until we have prevailing wages, just playing to the unions. Knowing he could get a handhold on the Blasio, rather than saying, okay, you're the mayor of New York, you're responsible, you want more affordable housing, I know it'll offend the trade unions, but I'll go along with you on it, so we'll have more affordable housing.
I wanted to ask you a question about Preet Bharara. Now, I'm a huge Preet Bharara fan. He holds in the mafia, he holds in crooked politicians. First, we have Hillary Clinton saying something very strange. Well, it's too early to know if we're going to reappoint Preet Bharara to this U.S. attorney's spot. We know that Chuck Schumer, of course, where Preet Bharara used to work, is a fan of. But then Schumer comes out and he says it's too early to know if we, meaning the U.S. senator, gets to do the actual appointment, are going to reappoint Bharara. What in hell is that all about?
You know, it's probably to keep him on ice during the, the Clinton Foundation is, the Clintons have been very leery of federal prosecutors because they are very independent folks once they get appointed, and their offices have high prestige, and they can bring high prestige cases. You know, it used to be you would let a federal prosecutor carry out their term, but upon Bill Clinton's election in 1992, after his inauguration, they fired all the prosecutors, every one of them, because they wanted to get rid of the prosecutor in federal prosecutor in Arkansas who was prosecuting Whitewater. They wanted to get rid of him. So they just said, no, we're going to get rid of him all, which you have a right to do. But it had been long established rule that you would, in fact, let them finish their term so they'd be independent, like the director of the FBI, like the director of CIA, like other law enforcement people. Now, you apply it here. Pre-Barrara goes after whatever is wrong without fear or favor, and the Clinton Foundation is located in New York City, in his jurisdiction. They are scared of him, that he might go after them, and deservedly so. I mean, the more you look at it, the Clinton Foundation was more of a political organization than a real charity.
Not for profit. I have so much more to ask you, and time is running out, so I have to ask you real fast. Do you have anybody who can beat Andrew Cuomo? You know, don't start talking to me about Carl Palladino. He turned out to be a bit of a loose cannon, or, you know. I mean, do you got anybody, or is it all bluster?
Rob Astorino, he won outside of New York City, 49-46. Only got 18% in New York City, but when you're playing 50 million...
Come on, you're not going to go back to that same week, sister. You're not going to beat him that way.
That's one.
Come on.
The second is Marcus Molinaro is showing some interest.
Yep.
He's the county exec, new face, county exec of Dutchess County, a major county.
Very decent guy.
Then you got Harry Wilson, who has really showed a lot of strength, almost won the controllership in 2010.
Yeah, because Andrew was putting the knife to the controller's race because he didn't want DiNapoli there. Right.
That appointee, et cetera. Yeah, sure. No, I understand that. But the fact is Harry Wilson ran a good race and got a lot of respect.
Come on. You know, in order to win the governorship, you're going to need somebody of a Bloomberg type, a reputation for integrity, decency, and I don't think you've got them.
Harry Wilson's got that reputation, and so does Marcus Molinaro, and so does Rob Astorino. He's doing a great job in Westchester.
You know the concept of who he? You know, there are some people, Bloomberg could win it with his eyes closed, but you're not going to get Bloomberg.
Well, mayors of New York don't fare too well running for governor. The last one to win was DeWitt Clinton in 1870.
Yeah.
Alan. So it's been a long time since the mayor of New York could win a statewide race, let alone a presidential race.
My point is you're coming up short.
Look, we've got good candidates, and we're this web of corruption and pure power plays that Andrew Cuomo has been weaving now. He's going for a fourth Democratic term after the Spitzer-Patterson term. And he got elected talking Republican stuff, tax caps, stuff like that, tax caps in 2010. 2012, frankly, as you pointed out, it was a much rougher time for him. He's now gone hard left simply because of de Blasio, and he wants to be sure he's not embarrassed in his own primary again, and he gets the Working Families Party nomination on his own. That puts him at risk. And so the issue is going to be Andrew Cuomo. We put up a good candidate who's got a good record in their own jurisdiction, Westchester County or Dutchess County, and we'll win.
Talking about your chances, you know, you're not going to convince me you're going to win with the guys that you just mentioned, but you do have at the top of the ticket in this presidential year Donald Trump. And he seems to be on a self-destructive path. I know you've had to announce in support of him, but is he a disaster for you?
No.
You don't sound convinced.
This is early in the game. We got a long way to go in a short period of time. As you know, every day is eternity in this kind of an election. And Mrs. Clinton, once again, you look at what happened. She's willing to sell anything to benefit herself. You know, in the last 3 years, she's made $26 million. Think of how hard she worked for that, Alan.
That's a lot.
Those people, yeah, what do you think people were paying her for her to earn $26 million in 3 years while she's running for president, in essence?
Now, and you're talking about personal wealth. You're not talking about campaign wealth, right?
For for Clintons, when they're in office, they also benefit themselves personally. They'll use public office to benefit themselves politically. It all meshes together. I mean, they even sold the Lincoln bedroom. They would have donors sleep in the Lincoln bedroom when they were in the White House. And her record of accomplishment, give me one accomplishment of her, Alan, that she has one big accomplishment. In all her being co-president with Bill and being a United States senator and being Secretary of State.
Well, she got very high. She got very high marks, Ed Cox.
No. Give me an accomplishment.
Well, you know, she fought for the people of New York. She says,
I'll give you one of her accomplishments. Hillary Care, the way she did it in secret in the White House when she was co-president, sitting in the West Wing, lost her party, both houses of Congress in 1994. It was so bad the way she put it.
So why is it going so bad for Trump if she's so bad?
Because he is a political novice. He's never run for office before. He doesn't have the normal filters. And he says stuff off the cuff that then is picked up by the press and magnified into a big thing.
So did he call for her assassination, as many people are claiming now, by the Second Amendment people?
Give me a break.
I'm just asking you.
Of course not. Of course not. I mean, that's what it's been blowing up to, exactly the way you stated to it. Meanwhile, it has come out that she, her staff, her close staff, Cheryl Mills and Uma Aberdeen, were working, as she was Secretary of State, were using her influence to get funds from Lebanese citizens, businessmen there in the Mideast for the Clinton Foundation. Give me a break. That's abuse of her office of Secretary of State. That's the real story.
Now, who you got to run for mayor? I mean, you got de Blasio. You know that there are issues with him. He's weak in the polls. Now, I think you get...
Look, I'm just dying to run against him. He is... my fear is he's going to be indicted before and out of office before we can run again.
But the Trump kids are expressing interest in running against him. What would you think of that?
No. They were asked about it, and they said that, you know, that's something you might consider. But no, they are totally focused on their father winning in November. They know if he loses, it's all over. If he wins, he's president of the United States, and it's a different world. No, they're not thinking of running for mayor at this point. We do have Paul Massey, a person built up a great brokerage business, sold to Cushman & Wakefield for about $100 million or so. He has been out there touching all the bases, very attractive candidate, really well-meaning, and he knows the problems in New York, having worked in all over the five counties of New York City. There's a candidate. You've got John Katzimatidis.
Are you kidding?
Built up his business. He's got his own radio show, which carries very well. We'll see. There's other candidates who are out there who have not yet declared themselves who would really be stunning candidates. What I'm saying is we've got different kind of candidates that are interested, some of whom are out there. Got a young politician in Eric Ulrich who has actually forced on the mayor. He's a Republican, by the way, member of the city council, one of only three out of the 52. And he forced the mayor. The mayor said he wasn't going to do it, but he organized the veterans and forced Mayor de Blasio to establish a Department of Veteran Affairs. That's pretty damn good. And he's saying he's interested in running for mayor.
Okay, so now Plattsburgh, because this show we're talking on is on virtually on every public radio station. Plattsburgh was going to host Trump, and he blew them off. And, of course, ticked them off at the same time. That's a word you can use, ticked off, on the radio. You know, I don't understand why he was going in the first place, because New York is not really in play, even with a great chair such as yourself. But was it stupid to call it off 20 minutes there?
No. Look, he did very well in Plattsburgh. You know, there are people calling and said, we're going up to Plattsburgh, and they really, they did think that Plattsburgh media would carry over to other places in New England where they were interested. When they found out it didn't, that they called it off. So it was on for a day, and they would have loved to go there because the people there love them. They did very well in the primary up there, and they would have attracted a great crowd up there. but he's running for president. And the votes in New York itself are not up there if he wanted to carry New York. And obviously, yep. There are other states that he'd want to carry before New York.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you this real fast, because we only have 2 more minutes. But I wanted to ask you about all those Republicans who are beginning to say they won't vote for Trump. What do you make of all of that?
There are Republicans. It was a tough primary, and it was hard fought. And there are Republicans who he defeated, who some of them had relatives who were former presidents, and they carry a lot of weight. And they're saying, we can't support Trump because they lost. He won, and they don't like the way he won. So. But let me tell you, they're not for Mrs. Clinton. And in the end, he is running against the establishment. He's the outsider. He's a real change agent. He's a businessman who knows how to get things done. I have dealt with him, watched him make major decisions, takes advice well, makes those decisions very effectively, knows about power, likes to wield it, wields it well. That's the most important thing for a president of the United States. I mean, that's a Jackson, that's a Harry Truman. That's the kind of president he'll be, very pragmatic. He won't be the best with words, but he's going to be the best as far as making the right decisions for the people of the country.
Ed Cox, can you get on the phone with the guy? Have you been on the phone with the guy? Is there any personal connection?
No, I've sat in his office at important inflection points in his campaign, and basically went through, here are your options, here's what you can do. And he made decisions right there, the right decisions with respect to the Republican Party, the way he melding together with Reince Priebus, going to meet with Paul Ryan, that we have a really potential for a great administration because of Paul Ryan's, he's a policy wonk, a Jack Kemp policy wonk, and he's thought out some good policies. And in his back speech on Monday, Donald Trump essentially adopted the tax code and tax reform that Speaker Ryan has said he would like to have done. So you find the two melding together and make for a very effective administration.
And, yes or no, because we have about 40 seconds here. Trump is still in the game. He could possibly win.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a tremendous desire for change now. A lot of discontent. It's a sour economy, mainly because of all the regulations and Dodd-Frank crushing the community banks that lend to the small businesses that provide 80% of the jobs. We're disrespected abroad. The only two countries we have better relationships now are Iran and Cuba. No, people want change, and Donald Trump is change.
We always love having Ed Cox on the air with us. Ed, you and I don't always agree on things, but it's fun. I just love having you here.
It's always good to talk with you, and I really enjoy it.
We're out of time. Our guest has been Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Ed, thanks so much for joining us. I can't wait to have you back the next time.
I look forward to it.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.